Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're listening to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. To start us off tonight, we have a few messages from the City of Kingston. City of Kingston and Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington, Ontario Health Team collaborate to improve access to primary care. The City of Kingston and the Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington, Ontario Health Team have teamed up to encourage people who don't have a primary care provider to register with Healthcare Connect. Healthcare Connect is the provincial system that helps people find a family doctor or nurse practitioner. We are working to ensure every single person in our region has access to the care they need to achieve their best health. We recognize that right now, not everyone has a primary care provider, but we need to know who you are, says Dr. Kim Morrison, FLA OHT Executive Lead. They continue stating, registering with Healthcare Connect will allow us to understand our region's true needs, end quote. Registering with Healthcare Connect is important. It is estimated that about 30,000 residents, or 10% of the FLA region, do not have a primary care provider. However, only about a third of those people have registered with the provincial system to help them find a primary care provider. Registering with Healthcare Connect is an important step to understanding our region's requirements. With the province's investment of $4 million, the FLA OHT is establishing a new health home in the City of Kingston. This health home will be a home base for easy access to all the healthcare and wellness services we need to achieve our best health. Healthcare Connect is a tool that will be used to help enroll people in the new health home. The FLA OHT website provides clear steps for how to join the Healthcare Connect waitlist, answers common questions about the process, and highlights the importance of doing so. Recruiting primary care providers to our region. As part of its physician recruitment strategy, the City of Kingston has been working on numerous programs to attract more primary care providers to the region. By promoting Healthcare Connect and having all unattached patients register for the waitlist, the city aims to provide the Ministry of Health with accurate numbers of the needs in Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington, and ultimately make the case for bringing more doctors to the region. Craig Desjardins, Director of Strategy, Innovation, and Partnerships at the City of Kingston, states, quote, since 2022, we've been working on various recruitment efforts to attract family physicians to the region, including incentives and relocation support. Just recently, we saw hundreds of people line up for the chance to get rostered with a care provider, and it's clear that something needs to change. City Council has stepped up to call on the province to actively work with communities to increase access to primary care. Having unattached residents sign up for Healthcare Connect will not only help us bring more family doctors and nurse practitioners to Kingston, but it will ensure that we have an equitable and fair process for people to access primary care, end quote. The FLA OHT website offers a place for primary care providers and their clinics to advertise permanent family doctor positions and locums. Visit the FLA OHT website for more. Healthcare Connect helps unattached people find a healthcare provider. Healthcare Connect is a provincially administered government agency that helps track primary care provider capacity and helps connect people to a primary care provider. Residents voluntarily sign up online or by phone. Once registered on Healthcare Connect, residents will be added to their local waitlist for a primary care provider. A nurse, the Care Connector, will be assigned to help find a primary care provider based on each person's situation. Also from the city, a call for applications, 2024 Local Arts Residency at the Kingston Grand Theatre. The Local Arts Residency at the Kingston Grand Theatre is back for a fourth year and is seeking applications from Kingston-based emerging or mid-career professional artists or collectives, working in theatre, dance, music, circus, comedy, or interdisciplinary practices. The residency will take place in July 2024 and will provide artists in residence space and support to create, explore, and nurture new directions in their work. The deadline to apply is Tuesday, April 9th by 5 p.m. Danica Lockhead, Acting Director of Arts and Sector Development, states, quote, the Local Arts Residency Program brings artists together and brings them an opportunity to collaborate and further develop new ideas and work. The residency has produced some amazing and unique artistic activity over the last 3 years, and we are looking forward to supporting and promoting the 2024 resident artists. Residency offerings. In response to the increased demand for a Black Box studio through the residency program, this year's residency will focus on the Baby Grand, an optimal, adaptable space for the development and creation of new artistic work. Three residencies will be offered in 2024 and will take place in the following weeks: July 2nd to 5th, July 16th to 19th, and July 23rd to 26th. Artists in residence will receive in-kind use of the Baby Grand, professional support and technical production, and an honorarium of $1,000. Learn more about the Local Arts Residency and apply at the City of Kingston website. Kingston City Council passed a motion at their last meeting to request action from higher levels of government to address Kingston's healthcare crisis. The motion brought forward by Councillor Tozzo included various requests, including that the Ministry of Health designate Kingston as an area of high physician need, that the Province of Ontario work with communities to increase primary care, and that the province establish a regulatory framework to prevent municipalities from competing against each other for physicians and primary care providers. This motion comes at a crucial time with over 30,000 community members without a family doctor and healthcare workers experiencing burnout and lacking confidence in the system. This motion was also motivated by an event in late February, where hundreds of Kingstonians lined up in front of the CDK Family Medicine and Walk-In Clinic on a freezing cold winter night in hopes of securing a family doctor.
In a country as prosperous as Canada, with its commitment to healthcare for all, we have to ask and beg the provincial government to make sure we have enough family doctors for our constituents. It shouldn't be this way. Our city is doing a lot to attract doctors. We're exploring new healthcare models. We've dedicated $2 million of our previous budget and another $1 million that Councillor Hassan put forward, and he was right to do so to meet the needs of our constituents during the last budget, to attract even more. I remember that night because Mayor Patterson called it madness. And it is madness. It's madness that municipalities are spending money to attract doctors. Because we're in a crisis. We are competing with other cities across Ontario and across Canada for family doctors. This is not sustainable.
While Kingston does have a higher number of doctors than many communities, many of them are researchers, teachers, and professors with a medical doctorate, not just those practicing family medicine. With frustration, council discussed the severity of the issue, exasperated by the lack of support from higher levels of government and urging them to step up.
I do not want, nor do I think it is fair, for municipal councils to bear the brunt of this, nor to be the face of this. So again, I think just personally, I'm done being nice. I'm going to call out every other level of government that allowed this to transpire and get us to this point, and just say that, you know, from a provincial level, and even from, you know, for the influence that the federal level has on our transfer payments and our healthcare systems, it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing to think that, as Councillor Tozzo mentioned, in a country that is as prosperous as Canada, that we are dealing with this as a city of Kingston Council.
You know, I can just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And it feels like we do this every meeting, Your Worship, on and on and on and on and on and on and on about issues that are outside of our jurisdiction. Excuse me, I'm a little worked up. Both of these motions this evening, which I support, because I do believe that advocacy to other levels of government is important as a municipality, but both of these motions and many of the other motions that are introduced, myself, I'm guilty of that as well, we are constantly trying to fill the cracks in the systems from other levels of government.
The motion passed with a vote of 11-1, and a copy is being sent along to local MPs, MPPs, and the Association of Municipalities of Ontario.
I know it's probably our voice is not going to be heard, but at least we can send it there, and that's our job. They hear it, they do something, or they don't do that, that's their job. But we will not stop speaking.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Zayden Vergara, and it's time for your CFRC Sports Roundup. As we come to the end of playoffs, we have one final weekend of absolute championship madness. As the U Sports Men's Volleyball Championship makes its way to Kingston, after the Gaels finished their conference season as the OUA silver medalists following to the McMaster Marauders 3-2 in a 5-set Force Cup, your Golden Gaels are now going into the national competition seeded fourth. And they'll be taking on the fifth-seeded Trinity Western Spartans. And that will be taking place this Thursday, March 14th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the ARC Main Gym. The other matches going on Thursday are going to be Laval taking on Alberta at 12 p.m. That is the 7th-seed Laval taking on the 2nd-seed Alberta. Then the 6th-seed UBC Thunderbirds taking on the 3rd-seed McMaster Marauders at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, followed by the 6 p.m. Trinity Western Queens game. Then after that, to close off the first day of matches is going to be the 8th-seed Guelph Griffins taking on the 1st-seed Sherbrooke. It's looking to be a really fun and electric tournament. And as far as when you can go and check out the finals, it is going to be taking place on Sunday, the 17th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the ARC Main Gym. Stay tuned to CFRC's social media for updates on the event and the games that you can catch at CFRC Sports and at CFRC Power Plays. If you want tickets to the event, go right on over to GoGalesGo.com. Get them while you can. It's a pass for the entire weekend. You don't want to miss out. But on that note, that's all for your CFRC Sports coverage. Now over to Erica Singh with your campus news update.
Hello and welcome to Campus Corner. My name is Erica Singh, and today I'm joined with Kate and Justin, the co-chairs for Cure Cancer Classic. Hi guys, how are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having us today.
Great. So do you mind just introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about what Cure Cancer Classic is?
Definitely. My name's Justin. I am from Toronto, Ontario. I'm a fourth year Bachelor of Commerce student, and I'm the co-chair of the Cure Cancer Classic.
My name's Kate. I'm from Oakville, Ontario. I'm also a fourth-year commerce student, and I am the other co-chair of the Cure Cancer Classic.
All right, and can you please just explain what Cure Cancer Classic is and what the event is taking place on Thursday?
Sure. The Cure Cancer Classic is a student-led, not-for-profit organization out of the Smith School of Business and a direct partner of the Canadian Cancer Society. Since 2005, we've raised over $1.6 million in support of cancer research. We have four annual events throughout the year, which include a golf tournament, an inter-faculty tournament, the Commerce Classic, which takes place in January, where we bring in other business schools to play in a round-robin hockey tournament, and then our marquee event, the ComEng game, that's taking place this coming Thursday, March 14th. And the club started out in 2005 from a leadership class project, where the founder of the club, Jared March, whose dad was battling stage 4 cancer at the time, started this initiative, to find a way to support his dad and sort of give him and his family a hope while they were fighting at this time. And over the last 18 years, the club has really seen tremendous growth. Last year's fundraising efforts led to a tremendous $450,000 donated in support of the Canadian Cancer Trials Group, which is a local clinical trial center on Queen's University's campus, in support of those currently battling and suffering through the disease and giving them that sense of hope as we fight for a cure. It's inspiring to witness the club's continuous growth, reaching new heights each year. This incredible success is a tribute to the strong foundation laid by those who have paved our path. It has been an absolute honor to co-carry this torch, the passion, and continue the legacy of those alumni before us, which comes with tremendous pride.
Our team is comprised of 36 individuals, mostly from the commerce program and some in engineering. And it's really a group of like-minded individuals who are all passionate about finding a cure for cancer. And I think the outcomes of our events really shows what these 36 passionate individuals are capable of achieving.
All right, that's very inspiring. So the hockey game, the Comm versus Engineering hockey game, is sold out for this Thursday. But do you guys have a link where people can donate if they wanted to?
If you're interested in donating to support the Cure Cancer Classic towards our annual rivalry game taking place this Thursday, this donation link can be found in our Instagram bio, and our handle is at Cure Cancer Classic, or on our LinkedIn under our name, Cure Cancer Classic, as well as on our website, which is www.curecancerclassic.com.
We are very fortunate that every dollar raised is proudly matched by the Canadian Cancer Society, effectively doubling the impact of each contribution made.
So last year, you hit $1 million raised since your inception. What are some goals for the coming future?
Yeah, obviously that $1 million milestone was pretty incredible. The club was created in 2005, so that's over an 18-year impact. And then, as we mentioned before, last year alone, we raised over $450,000 in just 1 year. So in the near term, I think our goals, at least for this year and hopefully this coming Thursday, are to hit $600,000 raised for the year. And in the long term, I can only imagine that that number will just continue to increase.
And just to add on to everything Kate said, I'd say our goals for the near future are just to continue growing our presence and impact that we have on campus. Tickets sold out in 3 days, which is just a testament to the passion that all of our fans have to supporting this cause and attending this game and really just being a part of this initiative. So really just hoping to grow ways in which we can execute small scale events to that can bring together the Queen's student population in support of an amazing cause and, you know, give them that sense of fulfillment and purpose and that they're helping out. And then what we've noticed sort of across Canada is that other schools are sort of picking up on our fundraising success and are executing different rivalry games at their individual schools, which is quite amazing to see just the snowball effect that this committee has had and the impact that's grown really across the country and in support of a cure.
And you mentioned the Comm Eng hockey game is just one of the events you guys plan throughout the year. Let's focus on this one for now. What is the process of planning an event like this?
Planning an event of this scale is no small feat. I think, obviously, as people in attendance, you just see the outcome of our work, but the planning really started almost a year ago. As Justin mentioned, we do have four large-scale events that happen throughout the year, so it feels like we're constantly in crunch time. But obviously it comes down to securing the venue and all the logistics that go into that and making sure that we're putting on an event that people truly love and want to be at. You'll notice throughout the night, there's a couple of fan experience activities, where we try to engage everyone involved. And we've also got some special people coming for intermission activities. And then of course the Commerce and Eng teams, we have to compose those in the early fall ahead of our tournaments. So across the board, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but it's all worth it when we see the result of our hard work pay off on Thursday night.
And what are some opportunities for students to get involved in the future?
So as we mentioned, we've got four events, a golf tournament, two hockey tournaments, and the Comm Eng game. So no doubt if you're a golf player or a hockey player, there are plenty of opportunities. As we mentioned, there's the Commerce and Engineering teams, which apply to those in those faculties. But our Queen's Classic tournament in November is welcome too. Or welcomes all players across all faculties to compete in our tournament. But if you're not a hockey fan, I personally have never played hockey in my life, we do have a couple small-scale events throughout the year. Last semester, towards the latter end of the semester, we ran a Hockey Night in Canada event at the Brass Pub, where we invited students out to come watch some hockey and join our executive team and, of course, donate a couple dollars towards cancer research. And we're trying to do things like that on campus. We've had some donut sales, cookie sales, and things of that kind of fun, lighthearted nature and goods. And we also have a brand ambassador program for those who are not on the executive team but still looking for a way to give back to the community and get involved with our organization. Being a part of the Cure Cancer Classic executive team through my 4 years of university has undoubtedly been the highlight of my university experience. It truly feels like the best possible opportunity on campus to give back and to give to a cause that's greater than yourself and that affects almost every Canadian in some form. I would highly encourage those in the Commerce and Engineering faculties to apply to our executive team, and our March hiring cycle will begin towards the beginning of April.
Once again, that was Kate and Justin, the co-chairs for Cure Cancer Classic. If you have tickets, make sure to attend the Calm versus Eng hockey game this Thursday. To listen to the full interview, make sure to check out the Today in YGK podcast on both Spotify and Apple Music. That's all from me today. Thank you so much. Now over to the weather.
This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. After a warm sunny day today, tonight we're expecting it to drop down to 1 degree with a few clouds. Fog patches will develop after midnight. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour, becoming light this evening. Looking forward to tomorrow morning, it'll be back up to 11 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Fog patches will dissipate in the morning and we have a high of 11 degrees. UV index is 4 or moderate. Now it's time for your CFRC weekly traffic report. Reduced load restrictions aren't affecting Kingston as of now. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. PSPC wishes to advise users that LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists due to a major rehabilitation project during various periods until the end of March. Keep your eye out. During these periods, all lanes will be closed to vehicular traffic in both directions. The sidewalks will remain open to pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC also wishes to advise motorists of an alternating lane closure on LaSalle Causeway for the following period, early November to Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Motorists should expect short delays during this period. Access will be maintained for pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC encourages users to exercise caution when traveling on the bridge and thanks them for their patience. In road closures to look out for this week, King Street, the tragically hip way to Place d'Armes, is closed March 14th from 5:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. for Cure Cancer Classic event at Slush Puppy Place. University Avenue, Union to Earl, is still closed until May 29th for the Queen's J-Duck Project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking during the duration of this project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham expect an eastbound lane closure until April 1st, 2024. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. That wraps up your CFRC weekly traffic report, and next up is Danielle with your events calendar.
And now it's time for the Community Events and Concerts calendar for March 11th to 17th. Have an event you'd like covered on our website or news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. On March 11th, head to the Invista Center for a 15-plus group Zumba class from 6 to 6:45 p.m. This will be an energetic session filled with music, exhilarating dance moves, and an atmosphere of fun and fitness. Classes will take place on Mondays from 6 to 6:45 p.m. and Wednesdays from 5 to 5:45 p.m. Each class is $9.10. To reserve a spot, visit cityofkingston.perfectmind.com. Also on March 11th, the Recreational Run Club, a beginner-intermediate run club for Queen's students and staff members who want to start running, increase their distance, time, or simply find some running buddies, will be held on Mondays at 2:30 p.m. and Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Runners will meet outside of the Athletic and Recreation Center. Register for the club and pay the one-time membership fee at gogalesgo.com. On March 12th, head over to Mitchell Hall to pet Oscar, the fluffy golden retriever. Oscar is a St. John's Ambulance Therapy Dog who will be greeting students on the main floor from 12 to 1 p.m. No registration is required. Feel free to drop in at any point during the hour. On March 13th, the second annual cultural market presented by Queen's Mental Health Awareness Committee will be taking place at Grant Hall. This vibrant and enriching event allows the opportunity to explore the diverse tapestry of cultures, featuring over 20 clubs from around the globe. This is a drop-in event that runs from 6 to 9 p.m. No need to register. Calling all Swifties. On March 13th, head to the Rocking Horse for a free friendship bracelet making event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Share laughs, stories, and creativity while creating beautiful bracelets to exchange with your pals. Register for this event at therockinghorse.ca. On March 14th, Art Hive will be held at Agnes Etherington Arts Center from 4 to 6 p.m. Art Hive is a chance for aspiring artists to explore the creative process through experimentation and play. Materials are provided and no prior art experience is necessary to participate. To register for free, visit agnes.queensu.ca. On Friday, March 15th, wrap up the week on a green note with Get Growing at the Rocking Horse from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. From potted plants to seed planting, discover the joys of nurturing nature. Register and pay the $5 admission fee at therockinghorse.ca. On March 16th, there will be a mixed martial arts competition at the Leon Center from 6 to 9 p.m. The card is expected to feature up to 14 bouts, including a title fight under the BTC Fight Promotions banner. Tickets vary in price and can be purchased at ticketmaster.ca. Also on March 16th, the Queen's Observatory will be hosting an open house at Ellis Hall from 7:30 to 10 p.m. This event will include a presentation from featured speaker Parisa Nazari, Queen's Astronomy and Astrophysics PhD student, who will discuss dust in the interstellar medium and the inefficiency of star formation. The presentation will be followed by a tour of the observatory's facilities. Don't miss the chance to attend this entirely free event that is open to all ages. No need to register. And lastly, on March 17th, City Hall will be lit up green for Irish Heritage Day. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated annually on March 17th, the anniversary of his death in the 5th century. Head over any time to view the green lights as they will be displayed all day. Moving into the concerts for the week, Alan Doyle's North American Tour will be stopping in Kingston on March 11th at Kingston Grand Theatre at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $71.24 plus tax and can be purchased at kingstongrand.ca. On March 12th, Alison Russell will be performing folk music at the Isabel Bader Centre from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are $50 a person and can be purchased at queensu.ca/theisabel. On March 13th, head over to Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar at 8 p.m. to see Frank Ryan perform. This event is Pay What You Want by donation to the musicians. On March 14th, The Music Movement, a student-led fundraiser concert featuring over 30 incredibly talented musicians from Queen's University, will take place at Kingston Grand Theatre at 7 p.m. This event is more than just music. The Music Movement will support the Women's Center in the Kilimanjaro region of Tanzania. This center is a beacon of hope, providing crucial healthcare services to thousands of individuals and advocating tirelessly for female reproductive rights. To purchase tickets for $25.50, visit kingstongrand.ca, and to make an additional donation, visit givetoqueens.ca. On March 15th, there will be a free open mic night at Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m. Calling all rock and reggae fans, on March 16th, Big Sugar will be performing their signature blend of Jamaican rhythms, bluesy tones, and heavy rock at Kingston Grand Theatre from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets vary in price and can be purchased at kingstongrand.ca. And lastly, on March 17th, the Mahones will be performing at the Broom Factories from 7:30 to 10 p.m. for a St. Patrick's Day celebration. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets are $30 and can be purchased at ticketscene.ca. Also on the 17th, celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the Royal Tavern with live music starting at 12 p.m. The Stand Up Doubles, Sitting Ducks, Paula Woodband, Richard Cranium, and Jeff Jen will be taking the stage. Admission is free. This has been Danielle with your concert and events calendar for March 11th to March 17th. Wishing you all a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.